I'm going to do a little bit differently here. I'm going to open up. It's all going to make sense at the very end, I promise. Last week, I showed a couple graphs. And you can put the first one up there. And I talked to, not that one. We'll give that one. So actually, you're right. I'll show this. You're right. Amy, leave that up. I'll show this first. This is in the run order of my theme, but I'm going to show this first. Anybody ever go to Subway and see pictures of marketing, how bad it is? Anybody ever see this? Like you see this picture, and all of a sudden it just shows up, and you're like, advertisers do a great job of making something appear great, and when you get there, it's not that way. Go to the next picture. Think about this. Like, just think about that. You go to Taco Bell and you order this like really crispy flowing taco and it's like soggy and nasty, right? You still eat it, you still love it, but it's just different, right? Go to the next picture. And this is one of my favorites. Like every time you look at a picture in the freezer section, you think this is going to be awesome. And then you open it up and of course you're microwaving it or putting it in the oven and this is what it shows up. And my favorite is, especially when it has a dessert in it, the dessert's like, look at it, that brownie looks like it's the whole meal. Or that loaf of bread, I don't even know what it is. And it's just like, looks like soup in there. You just never know because expectations on the box are not meeting reality what's inside. You can go to the next one. This is my favorite. Anybody else ready for eating food right now? Now, most people on Facebook talk about even people who use Photoshop and change their appearance on photo cover magazines. Did you know that in order to get the best shot from products, it's not actually what they're showing you? For instance, I'm not saying this is, but did you know that a lot of people, when they shoot pictures of pancakes and syrup, it's actually not syrup, it's actually oil. Because it's easier with the pour because it pours a little bit differently and it looks a little bit better. So that may be oil coming out of that thing. Go to the next one. This one, for instance, I'll show you this one. Anybody had Fruit Loops this morning? Nobody? Okay. So Fruit Loops, this is funny because it was like, well, just milk and cereal, isn't it? I read a thing that said this past week that when you look at pictures of this, of milk, in order for it not to look soggy, it's actually not milk, but some of it's actually white glue. Isn't that the weirdest thing? Because they want the appearance of something to look greater than it actually is. You can go to the next slide. You can get the next slide. So what I talked about last week in church was this graph. And what happens is I was talking about how Jesus came on this little donkey and people were expecting something different. But in life, and I'm talking about in marriages, in work relationships, in life in general, any kind of relationship, but just work setting, here's what happens. Usually, if you look at this graph, if the expectations are up here, when you see that awesome frozen meal, and the expectations are up here, and you open it up, and it's this blob of food, that's the reality, right? There's expectations, and then there's reality, but if you look at it that way, anything in between is pure frustration. Is this true? Because the reality is not meeting the expectations. For instance, this is my wife and I just got in a little bit of a, we don't argue it loud, we just kind of, anybody just kind of, you kind of slam doors, and not slam doors, but like cover doors, and you just kind of hold it in a little bit. We talk it through, but usually, we even talked about this week, usually our frustrations with each other or with the kids come in the fact that we expected something to happen or for the other person to react or act a certain way, and because they don't live up to our expectations and the reality's down here, we get really frustrated. Anybody else? You guys hearing me on this? Is this true? So if we were to flip it, so go to the next slide. If we were to flip it and the expectations, I'm not saying you gotta lower your expectations. Don't do that either. But what I'm saying is, but what if the expectations stayed the same and the reality was above it? This is where excitement in life comes because I think when you can, this is where the surprise comes. When you're doing something extra special for somebody, you go out of your way, you weren't expecting that, but it's something extra special because this is a new reality. Does that make any sense? And I think in our life, in our marriage, in our relationships, we really got to focus on, is that something I'm just expecting or is this reality? And I'm telling you, if we think this through, our relationships and our thinking will even be different. You know, if we go into these arguments saying, well, I expected this and this didn't happen, is your expectations right? Should you be thinking that way? And did you express your expectations? Or are you just mad things didn't work out the way they were supposed to work? You guys with me on here so far, right? The reason I'm saying this is because when Jesus came to earth, a lot of people were expecting Jesus to come a certain way, but he kept on telling his disciples, I'm going to die. At some point, they're going to kill me, but I'm going to rise again. He's trying to tell the disciples, the expectation is they're not going to hold me down. And then all of a sudden, they call it Good Friday, but it's Horrific Friday comes when Jesus dies on the cross, and here he is on the cross dying, breathing his last breath, and all of a sudden, all hope seems lost. All hope is just like, what just happened? And on Saturday, that had to be one of the most miserable days in the world because silence is one of the greatest killers of us. We don't even know what's happening. So here's the disciples who heard that Jesus is going to rise from the dead. And on Saturday, they're just waiting and they're just going, we just saw this guy that we followed die on the cross. Now what? So on Saturday, you're just waiting. And I'm telling you, the hope of Easter is Sunday is always coming. Sunday's coming because all of a sudden, what Jesus is saying, the reality is I'm going to rise from the dead. And he's saying, this is what's going to happen. Here's the amazing part about this is the word resurrection actually means to restore, to bring to life. And I love how, you know what I'm saying, there's even those stores downtown and Reclaiming Beautiful, it's all about the restoration and doing something great. I love it that Jesus was a carpenter before, you know what I'm saying, he went into his ministry because he took something that was nothing and restored it to something. Like he restored things. And so I think it's amazing. But if you think of Jesus's 3-year ministry, there is at least 3 people that Jesus touched or Jesus was a part of that raised from the dead. You think of Lazarus and a few others, and he went to a funeral. There's at least 3 people that raised from the dead because of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. And I know they raised from the dead. I'm going to talk about Lazarus in a few more weeks. They were physically dead. Like, their body was decomposing. Lazarus was decomposing. And they brought back to life. But what's interesting about it, not only do they get brought back to life, but eventually they're going to die again. Like, it's almost like he resuscitated them for a little bit, saying, I'm going to bring you back to life, but you will die again. But what's amazing about Jesus is he rose from the dead, and he never died again. And he never was part of that death again. And this is what's so amazing about this. So the question I have for us is this. What if the resurrection never happened? Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. He says, 1 Corinthians 15, he says, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless. And your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the dead and from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. And Paul makes it clear, and he says, if there is no resurrection, then your faith is useless. That there's no Savior, there's no forgiveness, there's no faith, there's none of that. And he says, and if it's true, then death and a grave win. But here's the crazy part. It did happen. What's amazing about it is that Jesus was part of so many miracles. He was part of so many miracles. He helped a blind man see. He helped the leper. He helped the lady with the bleeding issues. And he was part of all these miracles. But here was the point in history where he died. And here is the Savior who needed a miracle in his own life. And this is what Paul was just saying, that God himself, Jesus needed his father to remove him from the tomb, that Jesus himself needed a miracle. And he says that even death could not hold him down, even death could not keep him down. And this is what I love, because we celebrate, John 11:25 says, "For I am the resurrection and the life." I'm going to point this out, because I know we celebrate today is Resurrection Sunday. But you know why we worship every single Sunday? Is because we need to be reminded that every single Sunday, Jesus didn't just, maybe he died on this day, but we serve a God who is alive every single day. Is this true? That we serve a God, and it's not about an event. Resurrection is about a person. Resurrection is about Jesus. Jesus is the one that said, he says, yes, it's an event that happened, but he's literally saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He says, that's me. I am the resurrection and the life. He who comes to me. And what he's saying is that it's not just an event, it's a person. We celebrate this because he is the one, because of what he did on the cross and what came from the grave, he continually brings life and power in these situations. He continually, he's literally saying, not only did God provide a way, he said, I became the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's pretty much saying not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but he became the resurrection. I am the resurrection and life. He beat death, he stayed alive, and 1 Corinthians said, oh, death, where is your sting? Death, where are you? This past week, I've been listening to this song over and over, and some of you might, it's an older Christian song, but listen to these words. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love and heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Think about that. The empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And here's the chorus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know he holds the future, because life, look at this, because life is worth the living, just because I know he lives. Because I know he lives, this is worth it. So two things I want to say before we wrap up today. Number one is this, because of the resurrection, we can, number one, we can live. The best is yet to come. We can live abundantly. It says this, it says in John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I have come to have life, and they have life more abundantly. And he says, so Jesus is saying, I have come. And people say, what does that more abundantly means? Jesus even said, greater things you can do, even what happened here. And he says, not only can you have life here, but you can have life there. Not only can I bring you life now, but he says, I can bring you life more abundantly. It continues that the best is literally let to come. Because he is worth the living, it's worth living it out. Jesus did not just come to make us good. He came to make dead people alive. So where in our own life has there been death that God needs to bring life? And I'm telling you, some of our hearts, there has been death of pain with family. There is some, I'm telling you, one of the things we talked about a few weeks ago was some people speak words of death over your life. Somebody may have told you that you're no good, that you're nobody, that there's no worth in you, and those words are death. And maybe in your marriage, you feel like it is decaying, it is dying, maybe with your kids, maybe in your own physical life, and whatever it may be, but God came to say, where there is death, I'm going to make life. Where there is death in this situation, I'm gonna bring life out of it. And the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that lives in you and I, which is pretty amazing. And so, the number one thing is this, that God came to bring us life. If he is the resurrection and life and he lives inside of you, that means that power of Jesus Christ lives within your heart to restore relationships, to restore things in your life. Next one is that we need to be changed. The greatest miracle in life is a heart change. For instance, if I had a package of seeds up here, like garden seeds, and I have a package of seeds, What's interesting about it is that seeds are small and they don't make much of a difference, but one of the things that seed does is bring life. It also needs, of course, water and dirt and all these things, but seeds, it's a thing that brings life. And seeds represent change. So when you bury a seed brings change. So seed represents change in our lives. And so about a few months ago or so, my wife showed me this proverb it's like a Mexican proverb. And I thought, this is one of the most powerful things I heard for a long time. And I said, I need to share this on Sunday morning at Easter. Because I just want you to think of a seed, and Scripture talks about a mustard seed, a little seed. And here's what the proverb says. It says, they tried to bury us, but they didn't know we were seeds. John 12:24 says this, powerful Scripture verses, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat, a seed, falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. We are the seeds. And I'm telling you this right now. Satan tried to win on a really dark Friday night. They tried to bury our Savior. They killed him. They mocked him. They spit on him. We have these things on the cross over here because it represents the stuff that we're giving up and the things that we're laying to the Lord, and we're just saying, God, I'm after you. And on that faithful Friday night, can you imagine the hordes of hell just present there watching the Savior being beaten? And then all of a sudden, as he's on the cross, he's looking up to his Father, and he says, Father, Father, where are you? Why aren't you, what's going on here? And he knows that this is the steps. He knows. And all of a sudden, he commits himself to it, and he looks up to heaven, and he says, it is finished. He says, it's finished. And the word it's finished, here's what's crazy in Scripture, the word it's finished, actually, it goes back to the times of then, which when you translate it back to the old ancient words, actually comes up to a word means tetelestai. And the word tetelestai is actually used in that form of area and in the market and different things in life, actually literally means to pay a payment. So if you go to the market and you owe a debt, or if you got some grains or whatever, and you pay a debt, you would actually take the last which you owe, you pay the debt, and on your receipt back from it, they would stamp it with the word that said tetelestai, which means it is finished, which means it's done for, which means this, your debt is officially paid off. So when Jesus is on a cross, and all of a sudden is pretty much saying, it is finished, he's literally looking up and saying, tetelestai, the debt, the penance, the sacrifice, I paid it off. And so many people tell me all the time, well, why it's called Good Friday, because it wasn't good for Jesus. It's not good for Jesus, but it's good for us. It's good for us because he stamped and says, you no longer have to pay a debt. He says, your sins are forgiven. I nailed him to the cross. You're something new. Your receipt says it's paid forward. And he says, you have new life. It's a new beginning. There's something new happening. He says, because of this, you can face tomorrow. You can face this. I think about it. Interesting, in our own life is saying, where when we feel all hope is lost. And I put myself in the disciples' shoes, and I think about Jesus on the cross, and they take him off the cross, and they carry him to the tomb. And I'm telling you, many of us feel like we're in that Saturday a lot of the time. Well, all of a sudden, you just saw your Savior. You saw your hope. And you're following this guy. And you think, I might be crazy, right? Like, I'm following this guy to the very end. Look at Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's denying as this is going on. He's like, I'm following this guy. They take him off the cross and they put him in this tomb. And I'm telling you, the silence and that hopelessness that you feel just being a person saying, I devoted my life to following us, and now he's dead. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of us who have a lot of bad Saturdays. Is this true? Not because of Saturdays, but because it just you just feel that way. You're not seeing the outcome. You're not seeing, God, how are you going to work this out? How are you going to change this in my life? What's going to happen? Lord, my marriage is suffering. We're over our heads financially. I don't know you. I don't know how to walk in this. And you feel like, just like he felt, those disciples felt on Saturday, you feel dark, you feel alone, you feel desperate, and you're saying, there is almost no hope for this whatsoever. I don't see any end in this. And one disciple asked another disciple, what should we do? We just got to keep going forward. And they're questioning, is he for real? Is he the Messiah? He said he's going to raise from the dead, but I don't see nothing happen. If God is really God, why didn't he save his own son from the cross? If he's really God, why didn't he take care of us? And all of a sudden, they go to bed, they wake up on Sunday, and all of a sudden the rumors begin to spread. And someone goes, did you hear the tomb is open? Did you hear that Jesus is no longer in there? Did you see? And all of a sudden he starts appearing to the disciples. He starts appearing to people with the nail-scarred hands. And he says, this is who I am. I told you the best was yet to come. I told you your dead is gone. I told you. Because listen, if there was no resurrection, there is no hope. And because of who he is, there's hope. I want to end today with one last video. Because a lot of different people have a lot of different religions, and a lot of religions say, well, this and this and this. But I'm telling you, the true God, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead and took away your sins. And he is here with you. He is here because he's no longer in the tomb. He is here. Amen. Just watch this video quick. Everybody stand up this morning. It says in Philippians, one of my favorite scripture verses says this. It says, but whatever were gains, Paul's saying this in Philippians, he says, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth, I love this, of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider this rubbish or garbage that I can, all these things, so I can gain Christ in my own heart, to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from a law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, the righteousness that comes from God is on the basis of faith and not on law. And this is my favorite part, verse 10, 3:10. I want to know Jesus Christ, to know him in the power of the resurrection, in participation in the sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. This past week, I was reading a book, and the thing that popped out to me while I was reading was this. It says, you weren't just created to be somebody. You were created to know somebody. You were created to know the Lord. He is the creator. He created you on purpose and with a purpose. He created you for such a time as this. He created you when he was on the cross dying. He was thinking of you. He was praying. And I think this all the time, thinking, if you were the only one, he still would have done it. He made a way. Because of him, we can go to the Father. Not because of ourselves, but because of him. Not that we did something great, but because he did something great. Not that we're awesome, because he's awesome. Not because we have it all together, but because he put it together. We don't come perfect, we come forgiven. We come needy, we become desperate. And I'm telling you, when you say, God, I need a miracle, I need a heart change, that is a miracle. And you're saying, God, I need to know you in the power of your resurrection. You know what that means? That God is taking the darkness, that empty tomb of your own heart, and he's bringing life to it. He's bringing life to where there has been death. He's bringing life to different things, and he's bringing life in this situation. And I'm telling you, you no longer have to walk around dead, but you can walk around alive in who he is, because it says this again, he can do immeasurably more than we can even ever ask or imagine. And he says, death, where is your sting? Death, where is your sting? You try to bury us, but you didn't realize saying that we were, that it was a seed. Bury it, because life is going to come out. And life is coming. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. I believe today is not an end point, but for some people in here this morning, it's a beginning. It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. And you're in this whole attitude of, you know, bringing to life what there's been death and bringing to life what God is saying there's a new life. And I believe that you were invited. Maybe you're invited by a friend today or something. This is your first time. But I believe it's providential that you're here this morning. And this is what I want to tell you. God loves you. That you are chosen and wonderfully made. That you have a purpose, that you are designed by the creator, by the artist, that you are his masterpiece, that you don't need to believe the lies or the death of the enemy, but you are a masterpiece and you are forgiven and you are brought to life. And God says, I love you. No one's looking around. If you're saying this morning, I want to start something new today. I want to start something fresh today. And I need to start a journey with the Lord. And I want to start a journey with the Lord this morning. If that's you, nobody's looking around, I just want you to raise your hand and just look at me. If you're saying this morning, I want to start something new and fresh today. I need to start a journey with the Lord, and I need to lay some of this stuff down at the foot of the cross. I just need to lay this down. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Don't be afraid. No one's looking around. I see that. I see that. I see that. It's awesome. 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 Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, Lord, thank you for the death and resurrection. Lord, come into my life. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, wash me clean. Help me to walk in your ways, to know your voice. Breathe life into me. And Lord, where there's death, bring life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. I give you my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Isn't that good? Isn't that awesome? I'm telling you, when God shows up, something has to change. When you meet the Savior, something has to change. And we're just going to end with worship this morning. And I know there's eggs and animals, and your kids are probably excited. My prayer this morning is when we come in here, it was raining. I pray it's sunny outside. But if not, so be it, because no matter what, we serve the Savior, and today is the day. Remember, we celebrate the resurrection, I know today, but every single day. Because of him, we can face tomorrow, amen? Because he lives. It's all worth it. Let's worship this morning.